Gareth van Onselen is the chief executive of Victory Research. He has a love for data and unpacking fascinating information, including the subject we're going to be talking about today. How did the various racial groups vote for the political parties of their choice in the May the 29th election? Gareth, it's amazing actually that we in South Africa are so obsessed with race. There are all kinds of things thrown around about race. And I had a look. I spent 3 years in the UK not long ago. And the thing that struck me there was that everybody knew I was a foreigner, not because of the way I looked, but because of the way I spoke. In the UK, it doesn't matter what your skin looks like, you are British if you speak like a Brit. Whereas in South Africa, it seems we're going to have quite a while until we get to that point. Perhaps it's our history.
Yeah, no, I think, I mean, arguably our history is, you know, race and viewing the world through a racial lens is fundamentally sort of built into our DNA, political or otherwise. And yeah, I think it's going to be quite a long time before the majority of people stop viewing the world in that kind of way. And that's understandable.
Let's hope it's in our lifetime still. Well, let's hope we live a long time to be able to see that. But you've done research on the way the different racial groups voted in the May the 29th election. I guess the most important part of this is because of the DA being accused of being a white party. It's saying, no, it's not a white party. It's got a good balance between the various racial groups. Just as a headline, what did your research show?
So, Alec, I mean, on your initial point, it's actually twofold. I mean, on the one hand, yes, the DA is usually at the center of any kind of racial analysis as to how its support base is structured. But on the other hand, you know, you also have parties, the ANC primarily above them, that claim to be a home for all and a broad church. And so it's no less worth interrogating what their support looks like. And I mean, the headline findings are numerous, but I suppose if you were to put a gun into my head, I'd say the data demonstrates that while the DA does not have a significant amount of black support, it does have a substantive amount of black support, and it has the most racially diverse support base of all of the big five political parties, the other four being almost entirely racially homogenous.
So the potential, presumably, for the DA, if it can break that perception of being a whites-only party, must be huge.
Yes, it's a very powerful perception, and it's a fundamental problem for the party. One must differentiate between the number of hard votes that the DA got, which, you know, was around 500,000 on election day, from its potential. In other words, the number of people who comprise its baseline support. That's if all 100% of everyone turned out to vote on election day, and people that are favorable towards the party and maybe yet to become hard voters, but are certainly open to a meaningful conversation with the DA. And the ability to translate that broader favorable support base into hard votes is the challenge. And I think your observation about it suffering a lot of racial prejudice and scapegoating and name calling does harm its ability to be able to do that.
So before we go into those 500,000 black people and other minorities who voted for the DA and as well the lack of diversity in other political parties, how did you get to these conclusions? Where does your data come from?
Right. So the most important thing you need to do to be able to do this is to be able to map the voter's role in terms of its racial profile. Because at the end of the day, it's only people that are registered to vote who can vote. And so your population isn't actually all of South Africa, it's the voter's role. Now, that's pretty difficult to do. The IEC does not publish a racial profile of the voter's role. And so you have to use another method. It's incredibly complex and detailed and something that we actually do as a polling company rather than me myself, because it takes a great, great many expertise to do. But essentially, you overlay the census data onto voting districts. So you can be able to tell how voting districts break by race, and then you can generate a pretty accurate racial profile of the voter's roll using a program called the GIS, which is what the IEC uses to do geographic mapping.
And roughly, what is the breakdown, before we go into the data, of the population groups and the number that have voted? I say this because the white population clearly is older, so you would have found that proportionately the white population and perhaps the Indian and colored populations as well, to maybe a lesser extent, would have more on the voters' roll than the percentage of the census of the population as a whole. I don't want to get too complicated, but what are the breakdowns there?
So the interesting thing when you map the voters' roll by race is that the proportions are different to the general population trends. So if you look at the general population trends, the black majority has been growing systematically over the last 20 years. It's grown by about 3.5%, or about 14 million black South Africans, and it now comprises around 81% of the total general population. As a consequence of that growth, and due to a whole lot of other factors, the minority population, in other words, black, colored, and white South Africans, has shrunk by about 3.5%. But when you look at the voters' roll, the opposite is in fact true. The black population, although still a substantive majority with around 77% of the minority's roll, is smaller than its general population proportion, and the minority population is slightly bigger. And there are a whole lot of factors that play into that. But one of them, I think, is the DA's and other opposition parties' excellent ability to be able to register its voters, a lot of whom come from the minority support base. And then a whole lot of factors are driving down general voter apathy, resulting in, you know, the black population on the voters' roll being smaller than its general population size.
I was interested to see that the white population is now down to 7% of all of South Africa. Is that accurate?
Yes, that is accurate. I mean, the latest data we have on this front is the 2023 survey, 2023 census, I beg your pardon. And yes, that puts the white population at around 7.3%, I think it is. And it's the white population primarily that is responsible for a declining minority population. It's dropped by about 3.2 points. The other minority populations, the colored and Indian voters, are fairly stable. They've shrunk marginally, but nothing as substantive as the white population, which has decreased fundamentally. It doesn't mean the number of white South Africans have shrunk that much in South Africa. It just means as a proportion of the total. So the minority population has actually grown by about 1 million over the last 20 years. But, you know, compared to the growth rate in other population groups, that's worth less and less every time. So it's relatively shrinking, not absolutely.
I guess it's a little bit like what's happening in the Western world, where the population growth is lower than in the developing world. And I guess that's being reflected there as well. Let's go through some of your graphics that you've shared with us, Gareth. Perhaps we could kick off with the very first one of these, which is the core election. You call it the core election indicators. Can you see that on your screen? Okay, take us through this graph, if you would, or this image.
Sure, yes. So the pie charts at the top are a racial profile of the voters' roll for the last five elections, from 2004 on the left to 2024 on the right. You can see the dark blue is the black majority population, which is, you know, dominates the voters' roll, and the rest are the minority populations. Obviously, of those three, the Indian community, which is relatively tiny in South Africa, is the smallest slice. White and colored voters are more or less the same. And in terms of core election indicators for 2024, there are a number there which people will be familiar with, but the most important one is probably on the right, which shows the turnout per race group. So on the day, 11 million black South Africans voted, which is around 55% of the total black registered population. Around 52% for the colored population, around 61% for the Indian population, and around 75% for the white population.
I guess another way of looking at it is to say that nearly 10 million black voters who were on the voters roll didn't vote. Is there anything to read into that?
Well, yes and no. Yes, insofar as they're fundamentally responsible for the generally low turnout. I mean, you'll see that, you know, colored, white, and Indians voters are significantly above what the final overall turnout was, which was 58%. The fact that the black South African population, which is the majority, came in at 55, basically set the whole turnout average at around 58. And so their attitudes and response to elections generally define South Africa's turnout trends. And I think the reasons that they stay away are complex. I mean, I cited a general alienation as one of them, which Anthony Butler on Twitter called psychobabble. But I'm not sure it's psychobabble. It's just he's quite right. There are other factors that are feeding into that, and you can't just put it down to alienation. I just think it is a fundamental factor in driving down turnout.
Fascinating. Okay, the ANC itself, and these pie charts are very reflective of a, as you said earlier, pretty homogenous, almost one race party, even though the objective of the ANC is ostensibly to have a non-racial South Africa.
Yes, so I mean, you'll see if we go through the big four parties, and I'm sure you'll show the others later, the ANC, MK, and the EFF are almost exactly the same. Just to explain what's on the screen here. So in the box, on the smaller box on the right or the left, I'm not sure how viewers will experience this, the one with 14.18 is the election result and the ANC's racial support with regards to its final election numbers. The bigger box with the two pie charts in it is using the SRF survey from before the election, just before, which was a hugely substantive survey of around 7,000 registered voters to work out what their baseline support was on the national and provincial ballot. So what you should be able to see if a party does have a diverse base is, you know, a difference between the national or between its baseline and its turnout. But given how dominated the ANC, the EFF, and MK populations are by black voters, there's almost no difference. It remains, as you said earlier, almost entirely racially homogenous with a tiny, tiny proportion of minority voters.
Oh, extraordinary. Only 6,500 whites voted for the ANC. And there's the MK. Zero whites voted for the MK. Is that possible?
Yes. The other interesting thing is all of the three kind of racially homogenous parties, the ANC, MK, and EFF, had a slightly smaller, but I mean, we're talking of a really small base here, a slightly bigger minority population or support base as a baseline, but almost all of their baseline minority supporters didn't turn out or turned out terribly. So what was tiny went to minuscule, and almost as a result, almost all of the percentage of black support for all three parties increased on the day.
And there's the EFF, who somehow got 4,500 white voters. So an interesting point there, though, when we move to the next one, which is the Democratic Alliance, where the pie chart looks very different.
Yes, so the DA's, you know, got a fundamentally different chart to the other substantive parties. It obviously draws the bulk of its support from minority voters. And what's interesting for me out of these, if you look at its base support on the national ballot, which is the pie chart with 19.1% above it, its white support is actually in a minority in terms of baseline support. If you combine its black, Indian, and colored support, you get more than 50%. Now, on election day, its colored and black supporters didn't turn out to a great rate, and its white supporters turned out to an extraordinarily high rate of around 80%, almost 90%. And so on the day, its proportion of white voters overtook other minorities or other racial groups and ended up as a majority. But it shows that it has got the potential. And if we look at it over time, which I'm sure we'll do just now, you'll see that the percentage of white voters generally that constitute the DA support base is shrinking as a percentage of the whole.
Well, let's look at the overall party support, that summary there, which again shows very, very clearly the differences that you've outlined a moment ago. On this one, the turnout by population group.
Yeah, so, I mean, what this demonstrates is how effective the DA is at turning out minority voters. Next to each party in the graph below is the percentage to which that particular party managed to turn out its particular racial support base. So if you look at black South Africans, for example, the ANC turned out its black supporters at around 55%, the DA at around 52%. MK had an extraordinary election. Its black majority population, black majority of its voting population was incredibly enthusiastic, and it turned them out at around 63%, which really helped it make a disproportionate impact. And then the EFF on the far right is sort of in last place at 50%. So, you know, those are generally how the parties performed on black support. That when it comes to minorities, the DA is just in a different league. It's not just substantively in terms of the actual numbers, but also in terms of the percentages. It just really, you know, it is a brilliant electoral machine at turning out its core base.
What do you mean by that, turning out voters?
So on election day, part of any party's machinery is to ensure that people that have indicated to you that they are going to vote for the party actually go to the polls and vote. And obviously, the better a party is at getting its supporters to the polls, the higher its turnout will be. You know, in an ideal universe, a party would get every one of its baseline supporters and to vote. But that never happens, so you just have to try and maximize that threshold, and it involves a great deal of electoral mechanics. Knowing where your voters are, having drivers and transport to be able to help people who can't get to the polls get them there, having a turnout machine, which is just people driving the roads, being at key points in the public saying, have you voted, please go vote, and making sure that you're targeting your support base when you do that, so you're not getting the opposition to.
Okay, and the DA support, you referred to this earlier, the way that it's changed in the last 20 years?
Yes, so you can see, I mean, moving along from left to right, the white proportion of the DA support base does shrink. I mean, from 2004 to around 2019, it actually reduces to less than a minority. And basically, if you look at coloured support for, you know, 2014, 2019, and 2024, that's really what cost the DA in this election. It didn't manage to turn out its coloured support to the degree it did. It maintained pretty much the same number of black supporters, but that's what caused its white support base to become a majority in 2024 again. But over time, it's definitely shrinking, and the DA is growing in those other areas.
That's so interesting, because there is a lot of antagonism between the DA and the PA, the Patriotic Alliance, which is a coloured nationalist party. Again, all of the parties say they're for everyone, but it'd be interesting to see did you do much analysis of the PA's support, because you would expect, given that significant fall in the coloured vote for the Democratic Alliance, that would have mostly have gone to the PA and hence given them the successful election they enjoyed.
Yes, no, the PA was definitely responsible for some of that. But remember, there are also parties like GUD and the Cape Coloured Congress, which are entirely coloured when it comes to their support base, and that would have hurt the DA as well. But the other problem is turnout. I mean, a number of those coloured supporters across the board, and that would apply as much to the PA and GUD and the Cape Coloured Congress as that does the DA, just opted out completely and didn't vote. Which hurt everyone in that kind of market to the same degree.
Looking at it from another perspective, in a way, the 2024 election would be disappointing to the DA, because they'd been moving into becoming more of a South African party, if you like, and then the whites quotient went up quite significantly in this last election compared with 5 years ago.
Yes, I think the DA will be disappointed, not necessarily for that reason. I mean, you know, its ability to get 89% of white voters is a fantastic electoral achievement, and no one would say no to that. But what you want is to be able to turn out everyone to a high degree. And given its potential, which is the other key thing in this report, you know, there are around 3.5 to 4 million black South Africans who are available to the DA, who are favorable towards the party to one degree or another. and who can become DA voters. On the provincial ballots, as its baseline support, the DA had 1.2 million Black South Africans who were willing to say they are DA voters. And it needs to translate that potential into hard votes. And on that front, it'll definitely be a disappointment.
Okay, and perhaps our last table that we could look at now. Could you explain this one to us?
Yes, sure. So this is just every party that's represented in Parliament and the amount of Black support they've got. Alex, if you actually go two graphs down, one more. Yeah, this is actually more helpful. It's the same graph, but essentially it excludes the ANC, EFF, and MK. And it goes to demonstrate kind of in absolute terms, you know, how all these parties fared when it came to Black support. The dark bar is your potential Black support, your baseline. And then the light blue is the degree to which you turned those up on election day. So, you know, the DA at around 50%, it has basically a million supporters. Black supporters had only got 500,000, but that 500,000 is significant compared to the other nine parties in Parliament. It's more than all of them combined. And when you think that it's also the same as the IFP, the DA gets a lot more stick than it deserves. I mean, the IFP is certainly not blamed for not managing to appeal to Black voters. But the DA does have a significant support base amongst Black South Africans. It has the potential to grow them significantly. And it's certainly doing a better job at getting them than the rest of the opposition. So one needs this kind of perspective, I think, with analyzing the DA's results.
This is really interesting. So 500,000 Black South Africans looked beyond race and beyond the view that the DA is a white party as it's portrayed, and went to what it stood for, what it represents. And I presume they would talk about good governance, free society, etc. And that is more than all of those other parties: PA, Freedom Front, Action SA, UDM, ACDP, Rise Mzansi, that's pretty low for its share of the Black votes, and BOZA put together, which I guess tells you something. But this one, this graph where you look at the IFP versus the DA also reflects something very, very important, I guess.
Yes, so, I mean, that's exactly it. I mean, if the IFP is on the left, and like the ANC, MK, and EFF is a basically a racially homogenous organization, its total support is 3.8%. And when you split it up by race, it's dominated by Black South Africans, obviously. In fact, KwaZulu-Natal Black South African Zulu speakers. But if you look at the DA, its little proportion of Black voters there, which is its second smallest segment, is pretty much on par with the whole of the IFP support. There's about 50 or 60,000 votes more in it for the IFP, but they're pretty much there or thereabouts on baseline support and actual election day support. And, you know, they just enjoy entirely different reputations in the public mind. And it's difficult to understand, given that, you know, the one has really no real desire to seek out support in any meaningful way in other race groups or other provinces, whereas the DA seems to have a broad appeal across all race groups, but yet the one is considered, you know, racially homogenous, and that's fine, and the other one is considered racially exclusive, and that's not true. So it's an odd contradiction.
Fascinating graphs that have come out there. So if you were now consulting to each of the political parties, but starting primarily with the DA, because that is the one that we focused a lot of attention on because of the perception that exists that it's very much a white party, how would you start, or how would you suggest that they start changing that and to become the ruling party in South Africa, which presumably is what every political party wants to be?
Look, I don't think, at least not in the short term, political short term, by which I mean the next 5 to 10 years, that it is possible, whatever the DA does, to become a government. And the reason is what you alluded to earlier. I mean, the DA doesn't conceive of the world fundamentally in racial terms. It is sensitive to race as a reality, but it's essentially trying to attract people to a set of values and principles. And the market for that, I just don't think, is 50% plus in South Africa and won't be for some time. If the DA, so the DA's fundamental goal needs to be able to turn those people that are favorable towards the party into voters. And it needs to do some more work. The other problem is, you know, this isn't the way that you should approach electioneering by race. This is really just a byproduct of the DA's election campaigning. So I think it's a problem to approach election campaigning in racial terms. But for the sake of argument, let's just say that's what you would do. You want to get turnout amongst colored voters to increase, and you want to get more black voters to vote on the day and to change from being favorable to being hard voters. How you do that is a very long, complicated thing with a lot of elements. I think the DA needs to take Gauteng more seriously. It needs to get some physical structures up here that are more impactful. It needs to get some bigger names up here and more resources. I think this is where the future of the DA lies. And how it talks to those people is a complicated set of requirements, but I don't think we have time to set that all out right now.
And Gareth, if you have a look at the smaller parties, I made a mention of Rise and Zanzi having a relatively small black user or black support base. Action SA and Rise and Zanzi in particular, Helen Ziller and others in the DA have not been very happy at their emergence because they feel that that has taken away seats from the Democratic Alliance, which, as she said in our interview last week, they could have really done with. Is that a contestant in the traditional DA area, those two parties in particular, and perhaps Boza as well?
Look, those three parties, Action South Africa, Bosa, and Rise and Mzanzi, all did well in terms of having a diverse support. You know, they got a significant number of black South African voters. I don't think maybe ASA actually got a majority, around 53% of its voters were black South Africans. The problem is that they got so few voters that it's hard to determine if that is a long-term trend or just a short-term aberration, because, you know, your very first time as a party, you're going to capture those people who are most enthusiastic about you. And it's actually your ability to capture new markets that's the test of any political party. So we need to see. We need to give them another couple of elections to see if they can maintain those trends. If they can, that's encouraging. I mean, you know, you want to be able to appeal across all racial groups. And I don't think it should be the purpose of electioneering. It's just what you want as a byproduct. And they have the potential to do that. Whether they can do it on scale, though, remains to be tested.
Gareth van Onselen is the Chief Executive of Victory Research. I'm Alec Hodd from BizNews.com.